This episode is a little different from your normal Rookie Big Board podcast episode. It's an adaptation of the ADP video that I've posted on the Rookie Big Board YouTube channel, and I'll be breaking down all of the ADP changes in the last month for rookie ADP from the NFL Draft Bible. All right, enjoy. A lot has changed since the last time I broke down the NFL Draft Bible ADP data in early February. We have had a lot of movement, so I'm going to go through here, and it's actually over five rounds of mock draft data that I'm going to go through here and just kind of pull out my biggest trends. Now, you could see here, I'm actually going right through the data as translated onto the big boards that I have available at patreon.com/theffeducator, and I have the player, the ADP, and their trend right now. So I'm going to go through here and just talk through some of the biggest risers and fallers. Now, I mentioned there's a lot of movement, not a ton of movement in the first round. We're starting here at the top, and it's actually pretty consistent. Najee Harris, Ja'Marr Chase, Travis Etienne, despite it seems like a lot of narrative against Travis Etienne, he's currently holding that 103 spot, and I think that makes a lot of sense. I think he should be. I've had a lot of conversations about how early is it too early to take Travis Etienne in a one quarterback league. You know, I really need a running back. I'm totally comfortable with taking Travis Etienne with that second pick. If you need a running back and Najee Harris is off the board with the third pick, I'd say go ahead and do it. I think that he's going to return the value, and we're sleeping on him just a little bit despite the fact that he is currently at 103 right now. Now, the big mover is Javonte Williams at 106. He's trending up, and for a big reason. We want to push for that second level running back. And a lot of folks are pushing and suggesting that Javonte Williams should be running back two. Some folks think he should be running back one. For me, he's far and away not in that first tier of running backs right now, but we're seeing ADP push that. So my personal suggestion is to not overpay for Javonte Williams, but he is certainly one of the biggest movers here from February to March. I imagine he's actually going to slide a bit down. I think the ADP will correct itself here as we get closer to April, but right now he's a big trend forward. And you can see the wide receivers here in the back end of the first round are holding. It's a little bit of pick your poison. You know, are you interested in Rashad Bateman, Terrace Marshall, Rondale Moore? You're still in that go ahead and get your guy territory. The one guy who has been sneaking up as a wide receiver I like a lot, that's Tylan Wallace out of Oklahoma State. Now, I've had a lot of conversations about Tylan Wallace. Simply put, one of my favorite things about Tylan Wallace and why I think he'll translate well to the NFL, I think he's going to be a mismatch at the next level because I think they're going to have to force him to play inside. And I think he's going to be a little bit too physical for your nickel or slot corner coming in there. But I think he's going to be too quick for the linebacker. So I'm very interested to see his landing spot. I hope he actually plays on the inside in the NFL, despite being a physical outside boundary receiver at Oklahoma State. Let's go ahead. Let's jump into the second round here. And this is where things really start getting. You could see in that first round, the trend was a lot of trending even. And by the way, my trending up, down, that is based on the ADP results specifically. And you could see here, one of the biggest risers is Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore is somebody that I've been trying to hype up for a while. He's currently my wide receiver 9. And, you know, for a lot of folks, he was totally off their radar. And it seems like the hype has finally caught up to him. And actually to a point where I no longer think that you can get him at value. 202 for me is really high for Elijah Moore. He's still a slot receiver. He's still very landing spot dependent. So I hope he lives up to this ADP, and I think we're overshooting things. I think he's going to slide back to the mean, and hopefully he's more in the 207 to 210 range. That's where I feel more comfortable drafting Elijah Moore for value for fantasy football, but I think the hype has finally started to catch on here with Elijah Moore. He's one of the largest risers from February to March. Kind of just as a result of that, Amon-Ra St. Brown is dropping a little bit. A big question that I've been getting from a lot of folks lately, you know, what's the deal with Amon-Ra St. Brown? And we're in a little bit of a pickle with him. He does almost everything very well. He doesn't do anything really elite, and sometimes those guys get lost in the sauce. So it'll be interesting here. I actually think Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to continue to slide down boards a little bit and probably end up being somewhere in that 205 to 208 ballpark when we look at this again in April. Now, a couple guys are moving up. Dyami Brown, it seems like Twitter is really pushing Dyami Brown up. He's nowhere near this in my rankings. He's about a full round too high in value right here. I think we're pushing... We're looking for something that's not there with Dyami Brown. And I like him. I think he's a field stretcher. I think he's athletic. If he lands in the right landing spot with a quarterback with a nice arm, and I can kind of see him push the ball downfield and be used in that way, fantastic. But before the landing spot, this is much too high for me for Dyami Brown. So, you know, ideal post-draft ADP, I think 206 is going to be his best case scenario. I think much more likely he's going to return value at a mid to late third round value. So it's going to be a really interesting guy here to watch over the next couple months. Trey Sermon continues to trend up. After those top three running backs, you're going to go ahead and you're going to have to figure out who you want to get. You know, you can see Kenneth Gainwell's there at 201, Javion Hawkins at 207, Jamar Jefferson at 210. And then Chuba Hubbard at 211, Michael Carter at 212. And it's no surprise here. We were all wide receivers in ADP in the second round in February. And now folks are going to start picking their guy. So, you know, there's certain folks in ADP in our drafters that are pushing Trey Sermon up the board. There's others that are pushing Jamar Jefferson and Chuba and Carter up the board. All of them, I think, fall in the same bucket. It's really a take your choice. Who do you want to go for? And none of these guys really blow me away. You know, Hubbard has huge upside with his speed, but he has trouble with vision. I like Michael Carter a lot, but I think he's going to be used. I think he's going to get drafted into a running back by committee role to start his career. Trey Sermon has flashes, but I wanted to see more out of him. And when we started to see that at the end of the season, but the bottom line here is that you're going to have to pick your running back, and they're going to start filling the second round. My suggestion to you would be to wait until the third and fourth round if you're going to take your shot at running back, because you're going to see here in the ADP data that there's some really good values now that running back is getting pushed up into the second round. But let's go ahead and let's shoot into the third round. A big faller here is Seth Williams, and this has been a really consistent fall. You know, he slid a little bit in February ADP from our initial launch of ADP. He gets to March, he slides again. And more we're hearing the NFL isn't as interested in him as we thought. Folks digging into him are realizing some of those big catches that they fell in love with were really just highlight reel catches, and it wasn't really consistently there. Now, Seth Williams, he improved his grade for me in my 2020 tape. But coming out of my summer scouting, and I'll only scout about 60 guys from summer, and, you know, kind of the guys who I think have the best chance of being draft relevant that following year, mostly upperclassmen. And Seth Williams, he was my lowest grade from 2019 tape. So if you don't like his 2020 tape, I'm telling you, I actually like it a lot better than his 2019 tape. He's a really interesting guy, and it seems like the trend is just going to continue to slide him down. Now, I'm excited about the fact that Kylin Hill is trending up. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I think Kylin Hill is in the same bucket as a guy like Chuba Hubbard. And Chuba Hubbard is going, you know, I just showed you mid to late second round. And here's Kylin Hill sitting here in third round ADP. And folks are starting to catch on. But Kylin Hill was used in a three down back capacity for Mississippi State. He showed the ability to run in between the tackles. He showed good lateral movement. He showed the ability to work in space. He had nice hands for Mississippi State. Now, I think there's a lot to like about Kylin Hill. I'm going to pay that third round price for Kylin Hill instead of, you know, even that second round price for Michael Carter right now. And I like Michael Carter, but it's all about value when it comes to these running backs. Another phenomena, I guess is a good word to use it. You know, we're seeing a push of wide receivers up here in the back end of the third round. Dwayne Eskridge, Daz Newsome, Nico Collins, all trending up here, pushing into the third round. I got to tell you, Dwayne Eskridge right now at 309 in ADP from NFL Draft Bible, that is the best value in this ADP right now, because I have Dwayne Eskridge pegged as a mid-second round pick, and I think that once he goes day two in the NFL draft, which is what I expect him to do, I think we're going to see that ADP skyrocket. So if you are in a league that drafts pre-NFL draft, Eskridge is absolutely somebody that I'm zeroing in on. Another guy that I think is just way too cheap right now is Nico Collins at 312. Now, he's a project. He's raw. He's got, you know, he's going to be an upside type play, but he's a big bodied guy. 6'4", he plays along the boundary, he's very athletic, he's got good enough acceleration to stretch the field. So when I'm using those words, that's touchdown potential for fantasy football. That's why I like Nico Collins a lot, and that's why I think you're getting a steal with him at 312. Now, we're digging deep into ADP here. We're going to go into the fourth round, and there's still a lot of really good talent here in the fourth round. And I got to tell you, somebody, this is not necessarily just industry mock draft data right now that I'm going through. This is a combination of industry and a general public mock draft, but I've been doing a lot of mock drafts that are industry-specific fellow analysts, and Amari Rodgers is somebody that analysts are locked in on in that mid to late third round period into the fourth round period. Anytime Amari Rodgers is taken off the board in one of these mock drafts, you see two or three other analysts kind of jumping in and saying, I shouldn't have waited for Amari Rodgers. So despite the fact that right now his ADP is at 402, and I think he's going to end up with solid draft NFL draft capital, probably early day three, like round four draft capital, I think Amari Rodgers is somebody who's going to be that third round, you know, kind of consistent target. And I think that he's going to return pretty good value on that. Now, it's just a free fall right now for Sage Surratt. It seemed like his Senior Bowl, kind of propped him up a little bit. But since then, the fantasy community has really lost interest in somebody that I actually gave a really good tape grade to. A solid tape grade to in 2019. But we are so far removed from him. I'm not necessarily super excited about Sage Surratt, but this is a really good example of why it's beneficial to just load up on fourth-round picks. If you have 3 fourth-round picks, and you can get Sage Surratt and Larry Roundtree, who I really like a lot, and Anthony Schwartz, who I like a lot, then, you know, you take three guys, and one of them hits, and you're in a good spot. You drop the other two from your roster, no harm, no foul. Those fourth-rounders probably cost you nothing. Kenny Yabo, really interesting here. Both Kenny Yabo and Josh Palmer are trending way up. They didn't actually register in February ADP. They are now registering in March ADP. Kenny Yabo, a really athletic, definitely raw, but he's got good hands. He's a pass-catching tight end from Ole Miss, and he is somebody who I'm absolutely taking a shot on in the fourth round. Like 10 out of 10 times, if I'm drafting at 407 and Yabo's there, I'm going to go ahead and take him because he's a high upside guy. Now, he's a tight end. That's unproven, so he may never hit. But in the fourth round, why not take your shot? Josh Palmer, that's an interesting guy. You know, I'm really honed in on the Tennessee scene. Josh Palmer was good, not great, but the Tennessee offense didn't really allow him to be great. And he's somebody who I think is gaining steam in our rookie mock drafts because he's gaining steam in the NFL circles. Emar Smith-Marset is somebody, I loved his tape. So coming in at 408 here, another really good sleeper pick, Emar Smith-Marset. I really liked his tape. And Puka Williams is having a rebound effect. Puka Williams was kind of considered to be this like second round guy, kind of talked about in a very similar lens as somebody like Chuba Hubbard preseason. He kind of fell off the radar. I think we saw his flaws, but now he's kind of getting a rebound now that his truthers are jumping back into ADP and drafting. Tyler Vaughn's an absolute free fall here. It seems like he's an afterthought right now in the draft community. And a few other folks kind of trending up and sliding themselves into fifth round ADP are guys like Cade Johnson, Shai Smith, Tutu Atwell, Frank Darby. I think Frank Darby at 512 is an absolute steal. Mac Jones and Kellen Mond didn't initially register in ADP in February, so both of those guys are trending up because they did jump in there. It's interesting right now that Kellen Mond is ADP higher than Mac Jones, despite the fact that Kellen Mond is most likely a day three pick and Mac Jones is most likely a day one pick. I think it's a reflection of fantasy football and the fact that this is a one QB league. Why not take your shot on a guy with a high toolsy upside guy with Kellen Mond? Despite the fact that Mac Jones is probably going to be a starter in the NFL, if this was my choice, I'm probably taking Mac Jones just because I know there's a little bit more guaranteed opportunity. But if you're drafting in the fifth round, why not just take your home run swing? So I have no problem with the folks here who took Kellen Mond at 509 instead of Mac Jones at 511. And we're going to just slide just over into the sixth round here. This is every player that registered ADP. So we have seven more spots. Simi Fayoko. He's a really interesting, he's kind of like one of those truther guys. So he didn't initially register an ADP and his truthers have kind of pushed him up. Warren Jackson for me at 602 is ridiculous. I would look at Warren Jackson in the fourth round. In that same vein, we're talking about guys like Emar Smith-Marset. You know, just kind of taking the upside there. Warren Jackson's a big bodied guy. He's athletic. He's definitely a raw player, but he plays well along the boundary. I think he could be a really interesting fantasy football guy. So if you're in a really deep league, a 16 team league that's doing, you know, four or five rounds, and Warren Jackson is hanging around, definitely somebody I'm interested in as we're kind of wrapping up and looking at the end of this ADP here. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe. Check it out, all of my work, patreon.com/theffedge.